Hello, friends, and welcome back to Hebrews. Chapter 12 begins with one of the great inspirational verses. But first, I want to remind you where we are. We're sitting in a gathering with those first century believers, our ancient brothers and sisters. Life has been hard for this lot, and the persecution is getting worse. But there is joy, especially when they come together. And as they gather, they need some inspiration. They need a word. Now, the preacher is well into his message, but this last bit, this part, nearly lit a fire. Not with his eloquence, but with the stories. They were stories everyone in that audience knew well, since they were kids. The heroes, Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Daniel, stories of valor and courage, stories of weak made strong and sinners made saints. By faith, they lived beyond this life. Now we come to the center of that great hall of faith. Their stories and testimonies surround us, speak to us. We carry their legacy. It reminds me of one of my all-time favorite movie scenes. The movie is Rudy. Sean Astin is brilliant as Daniel Rudiger. His one great passion in life, Notre Dame football. The scene where Rudy walks into the locker room for the first time and he can feel the weight of it. The stories, the legends who suited up here, the Four Horsemen, Newt Rockne, Bruce Krause, Angelo Bertelli, Johnny Lujack, Don Lattner, for Rudy, heroes. And the speech, you gotta watch it, still brings me to tears. And that is exactly where we are at the outset of Hebrews 12. Remembering the heroes of faith, their stories fresh in our minds. That look in their eyes, steeled with determination. What did they see that gave them such perseverance? And what can they teach us? We begin at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. He says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The idea here isn't that they're all watching us, but that their stories testify. As you suit up, they speak. They ran their race. Now time for yours. As you prepare to take the field, you hear the echoes from ages past. They tell of God's faithfulness through trial and hardship. They steel your resolve and strengthen your faith. And I like the picture of our walk with God as a race. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Many things in this world are fine and good if you're just meandering through life. But not in a race. God gave you purpose, goals, a mission. Don't step into the blocks at the starting line holding a bunch of unnecessary junk. Suit up. Prepare to run. I heard the story of a small airplane used by a missionary aviation ministry. They stripped out every cushy seat and creature comfort and flew as lean as possible. Just the basics. Why? Because every ounce of cushion removed meant more life-saving medicine and supplies for the mission. Much like that plane, your life only has so much room, and you have purpose. So throw off everything that hinders. And, he says, the sin that so easily entangles. Allow sin into your race with God, and it will twist around your legs like a vine. Sin will take you down. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Back in high school, I literally ran off course in a cross-country race because I didn't watch the markers. Just off into nowhere. Needless to say, I lost. God has marked out a race for us. Stay on course and run with perseverance. I love the Olympics. I especially love the stories. They just inspire me. But do you remember what it was like to watch the Olympics as a kid, when you were just crazy enough to think that that could be you someday? The Lord has marked out a race for us. This race isn't for the elite and the world class. This race is life, your life. Run, persevere. The Lord has marked it out for us. Like Abraham, we may not know the path ahead, but we can trust the one who marked it out. And remember the eyes of all those who went before you. They saw something. Every athlete will tell you that fixing your eyes is essential. Eye on the ball, eyes on the prize. Because your mental focus follows your eye focus. And I don't just mean physically. If you're physically blind, this applies equally to you. In verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Watch Jesus. He's like your trainer saying, "Eyes on me." He blazed the trail before you. He is the perfecter, the one who will finish the good work he began in you. He's not done. Watch how he lived, how he endured. Back in verse 2, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. I like the word consider. Think it through. How did he deal with such opposition from sinners? And how can we not lose heart? Then in verse 4, the preacher begins talking to us like a real coach, like he's training us to run this race to win. He talks about the Lord's discipline and reminds us that God disciplines us like a good father disciplines his son or daughter. Now, the switch to a father's discipline might seem like a subject change, but remember that a coach disciplines his athletes, not for punishment, but for training. Coach pushes you to build endurance and strength, refine your skill and strategy. And really, a father is the same. A good dad doesn't discipline simply for punishment, but for training. He is building character, humility, wisdom, endurance, life skills. And that's the picture here. The Lord is your father. In verse 6, he disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son or daughter. So in verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. This should revolutionize the way we see trials. God is working on your character, and he's treating you like his kid. He loves you. Now, side note, I don't want you to take this to an unbiblical extreme. Some Christians take a play-through-the-pain attitude that ignores serious injuries. Play-through-fatigue? Great. Play-through-a-concussion? Dangerous. Perseverance does not ignore problems. Perseverance faces problems with faith, determination, and humility, and goes through the necessary recovery process. God is healer, not ignorer. Recognize when issues require special care, like trauma, mental health, and marriage issues. And please don't hand out easy Christian platitudes about pain and anxiety when you don't know anything about their trauma. And notice that the passage does not say that God causes the hardship or does the evil. It says he's the good father who is there with you to carry you through it, and he uses the opportunity to help us mature. Back in the text, he's also the good father who disciplines you to train you, to keep you from sin and danger, and grow your character. And training is not all fun. A lot of it is painful. But in verse 11, "Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Do you know what it's like when training pays off? When your strength and skill grow? So sweet. Submit to God's training, and the payoff is righteousness in your life and peace in your soul. So in verse 12, "Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet." In other words, get ready to train. Clear off the track. Time to work. If you feel like your arms are feeble, your coach isn't here to disable you, but to heal and strengthen you. Next up, the preacher delivers some rapid-fire instructions for how to run this race well. Live in peace with everyone. Work at it. Be holy, set apart. Know holiness, and you'll never see God. Don't let bitterness in. Bitterness grows in your heart like a poisonous root beneath the surface. In verse 16, "See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau." Sex without morals will destroy your race. The Greek word here is pornos, and it simply means a pornographic person. And Esau is called godless here because he traded his birthright for a bowl of lentil. To gratify his body's cravings, he sold his future. His role and responsibility to family meant nothing compared to desire. That's godless. And it's a stark warning and contrast to our calling. Endure, persevere, inherit what God promised. Now the chapter's not done, but we're going to break here so that you can dig in on the first half. Take another look around the locker room. Remember the heroes. Fix your eyes. Prepare to run. And remember what Rudy said. It's always too soon to quit. And I'll meet you back here for part two.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.